Hey, everybody, it's Ryan Ripley. Wanted to get a new offering in front of you as soon as possible, evidence-based leadership. And so as you all know, Todd Miller, myself, and Will Seeley, we're big on evidence-based management. We want to apply it to the leadership space. We all know that modern managers face complex challenges every day. You're juggling a lot of needs, your direct reports, your stakeholders, your customers, they all need constant attention. What we want to do is help you manage that. We want you to use information and data to make good decisions around all of these areas so that we're delivering the right thing at the right time for the right customer. And we know that we're doing that because we're using data and evidence to validate all the things that we're doing. And not only that, we're not just looking at value, but we're looking at our capabilities as an organization. Can we deliver on time? Can we innovate effectively? Do we have too much tech debt? Do we have too many things in process? Are we unable to deliver when the market demands that we do? We look at all of these things with evidence-based management. We merge that into a leadership mindset and lens, and we enable you to make new and better decisions repeatedly based off of the data that you're collecting within your organization. It's exciting stuff. We hope you can join us. Visit agileforhumans.com/EBL course. Join us in one of these offerings. We think you're going to love it. Hope you can join us. Use Agile for Humans, the number 4, to take another 15% off of this course, and we can't wait to see you there. Welcome to another episode of Becoming a Scrum Master. I'm your host, Ryan Ripley. Joining me today, good friend, former coach, like we were stewards. We've done a bunch of work on SDO stuff, Scrum.org stuff. Actually, we took care of the Pali for a while, so of course I'm talking about Magda. Magda, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me here.
Thanks for doing this.
I'm happy.
All right, we're going to jump right into it. People like it when we get straight to the point. And so, Magda, can you share the story of how you first encountered Scrum and what motivated you to become a Scrum Master? Mm-hmm. Was there a particular moment or experience that sparked your interest?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was a moment. It was back in 2008. And at the time, I had the role of a traditional project manager. Yes, exactly, project manager, responsible for overseeing a segment of our project portfolio management. And to be honest, I was quite dissatisfied. We were experiencing frequent delays, and the business environment was rapidly evolving, and catching up seemed impossible. And believing that I might be doing something wrong, I decided to enroll in a postgraduate course in project management. Of course, project management, because I was a project manager. And to my surprise, the very first class introduced us to Scrum planning. Can you imagine project management? And this is the class with planning with Scrum. And it was a revelation for me. And I immediately saw its potential for our projects, at that time projects. Then we moved to products, of course, but that was later on. And I thought, this is exactly what I need. And back at work, we initiated discussions about embracing new approaches. And it turns out that I wasn't the only one who had heard about Scrum. My journey towards becoming a Scrum Master began there, transforming not just my professional approach, but also my personal like mindset, habits, my attitude. And it was about 2009, 2010. And after a few years, I moved to other roles related to agile coaching, management, and products. But that was a little bit later.
Cool.
It was a short, long story short.
No, it's great. And we can roll into this kind of idea of a specific project or situation where you had a eureka moment or where the light bulb went off that made you realize the true power and potential mm-hmm. of Scrum. And if that happened, could you describe it for us?
Delayed project. That was the first moment. And the second moment was that we couldn't respond to market changes and to customer needs. Like completely customers were omitted at that time. Like the only reason we were doing something that was the deadline and fixed scope according to our contracts or internal promises. So that was the moment. Okay, we thought, okay, that's not for our customers, no outcomes for them, and in addition, delays on promises. And now we know, of course, how it's working, and now we know that it's completely different. But at that time, we were like completely working in this project traditional mindset.
Yeah, and it seems like that's a very common kind of light bulb moment for people, mm-hmm. that when they see that responding to change, right, that ability to adjust to the market, that seems to be a pretty powerful moment.
Mm-hmm. It was exactly the powerful moment, responding to market needs, to changes, and we couldn't make it up. Just awesome. Simply like that. Yeah. And I was actually happy because I wasn't the only one who started this conversation. Like, many people heard about Scrum, and we thought as an organization that we should try it. Like, we should try. This is what we were thinking at that time. And we did. And it was successful. Actually, my first Agile transformation was successful. And when I moved to the Scrum Master role from this completely traditional being a traditional project manager, completely moving from project-oriented organization to product-oriented organization. That was completely different. And I found like happiness in it, a passion, not only like being the person who is doing thing, but also a passion.
That's great.
That was something really a revelation, I think.
That sounds like it. You know, you mentioned, you know, that early Scrum Master experience. And so I'm curious, you know, how has your perception and execution of the Scrum Master role evolved? You know, are there aspects of the role or the accountabilities mm-hmm. that you view differently now compared mm-hmm. to when you first started?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. More, it should be more about organizational stuff and moving toward value oriented than only being oriented on a team and being oriented only on some tools and just basic practices. And the role is evolving towards agility in entire organization, like organizational design, organizational culture, and some things like that are around it, not only the particular stuff that is concerning our teams, but also like agile contracting, for instance, it should be involved. We can change our contracts to be more agile from traditional led contracts into organized around agility. And it can be done. And I experienced it actually during my first experience as a Scrum Master. But later on, it was kind of difficult due to organizational limitations. And actually, that was a people limitations, not like a process limitations or law requirements or legal requirements. No, absolutely not. Sometimes it's only about people and their openness to changes, just simply like that.
Yeah, it's amazing how often we forget that when we say organization, we're just talking about a big collection of people.
People, right? Just people, yeah. And their attitude, openness, their willingness to change and to see a different perspective. And also, it's involved a kind of experimentation. It's involved in it. So people don't perceive it. Let's try it. And then we can learn from that. And they are afraid of experimentation or just trying out things. Sometimes I'm stopping myself, I'm refraining myself from using the word experiment because people are afraid of this, maybe not understanding it enough.
Yeah, you run into a lot of, you run into a lot of, what do you mean an experiment? We have to deliver on this date. What are you?
Exactly. Let's try it out. Let's verify, let's validate what data we have right now. And this is what actually is missing still in some environment and in some organizations. So they don't have current data. Yes, okay, Ryan, we are moving to the EVM. Okay. Right. Yes, but it is. It is what it is. It's
there's, the I EVM. Think there's a good book on that somewhere.
There's a good book. Yeah, I can see it. I ordered the physical version because awesome. I have like the ebook copy, but not, it's not enough. It must be also a physical one.
Well, thanks for doing that. What advice would you give to someone aspiring to become a Scrum Master? Is there a particular mindset, skill, or habit that you believe is crucial for success in this role or to fulfill the accountability?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So this is what I can see here. It is not only about the team, okay? You need to make your team more effective. That's the crucial part. But also think about product ownership, how you can help your product owners. For instance, the evidence-based management framework, business strategy, product strategy, product vision. This is for the product owner, but you can think how I can help as a Scrum Master to help my product owner. So not only developers, but also the product owner. And then think about your entire organization. So not everyone must work with Scrum. Absolutely not in the entire organization. But people should understand why our product is working with Scrum. What is crucial? What is important in that, especially when it comes to the complexity and how we can explain people about the complexity and how we can respond in complex environments to this environment, and we can respond with Scrum actually, and being a Scrum Master and helping organization towards agility and understanding also to explain the organization how we can understand agility. So like fast and rapid response to market changes and rapid response to some other things that are going, like for example, changing technology or requirements, and just people. So this is what we can do. So don't forget about your organization. Don't be focused only on developers and on Jira or other tools like Azure DevOps or Trello, whatever you use. That would be my advice.
Oh, it's great advice. We can't forget the organization. That change agent stance is one that we really have to get comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. And there is the most often omitted role, like this part, organizational part, is very often omitted, unfortunately. So this is why we need to remind it and remind it one again and over again.
Oh, I love it. Todd calls it the popping the Scrum bubble.
Exactly.
Getting outside of that bubble, right?
Yeah.
That's great. All right, the last question I have for you, Magda, what is the one book every Scrum Master should read? And it doesn't have to be an Agile book. It doesn't have to be a Scrum book. It could just be a book that had a huge impact on the way that you work or see work or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. The Age of Agile. It is the book by Stephen Denning and his other books, actually. And they were maybe not a revelation because I already was a PhD when I started listening to his books. But that was something that confirmed, like that was a confirmation for me that I'm not the only one crazy person in the world, but there are more crazy people, more PhDs are crazy about agility and about Scrum and DBM, etc.
That's great. Oh, wonderful recommendation. So I'll make sure that gets in the show notes. Magda, anything you want to get in front of the listeners and the viewers before we wrap this up?
Start thinking in terms of products. That would be my recommendation. Because still, this is something I'm trying to dispel some myths around projects and products. And remember that the project, it is a sprint, especially in Scrum environments. So if you are working in a traditional environment, that's fine. You can call what you are doing projects. But if you are in the agile transition process, or you are already think that you are more scrummish than not, think in terms of products, because products are represented by customers and users. So think about them, think about outcomes for them, and not only being focused on delivery. And I call this delivery-oriented mindset as featureosis. So as a kind of disease, and please be don't oriented only on features, on feature delivery, feature factory, and featureosis. Be also oriented on product and outcomes for your users and customers, and help them as a Scrum Master. Also help them help people, help your organization, your stakeholders, especially your stakeholders, to understand it and to just follow your users and customers. That's it.
That's great, Magda. If people want to learn more about you or to check out the things that you've written, that you've created, that you offer as far as training and other stuff, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
I believe my website, it would be the best place we can be connected. It's magdalenafirlit.com. But it can be hard to pronounce.
We'll put a link in the show notes.
Plenty of blog posts and articles, especially focused on products and customers and customer value and EDM and agile leadership.
Great.
That's my main domain at this moment.
Yep. And you're one of the best at it. So Magda, thank you for joining. Really enjoyed hearing a lot about your early Scrum Master projects and how all that went. And I'm sure everyone else enjoyed it too.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, of course.
Hope it was inspirational.
It was excellent. And everybody, be sure to like and subscribe so that you never miss these fun interviews with wonderful people like Magda. Hit that bell just to make sure you don't miss it. Check out the socials. We're big on Twitter and LinkedIn, especially. Todd's still trying to figure out Instagram, but we're working on it. Some videos are going to pop up. It's our free Scrum and free EBM course. They're awesome. They're free. You have no excuses. Check them out, get started, and go conquer the world. Leave us your questions and comments. Questions and comments drive the channel. And who knows, if there's enough questions for Magda, maybe we can talk her into coming back. So be sure to leave your questions and comments there. For Magda, I'm Ryan. Go forward, do some great Scrum things. Pop that Scrum bubble. Use great frameworks like EBM. Check out The Age of Agile. Such a wonderful book that gets overlooked too much. And we'll see you next time. Hey, it's Ryan. If you're enjoying this show and want to take a deeper dive into Scrum with me and Todd, check out agileforhumans.com/training. Be sure to also look at the show notes to subscribe to our newsletter, get a copy of our book, Fixing Your Scrum, and learn more about working with us at Agile for Humans. Thanks for listening, and Scrum on!